May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen.
And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. If you ever find yourself in Jerusalem, there is a place that you must see for yourself. Let's say you are staying outside the walls of the old city. If you are coming in from the north, you might walk through the Damascus Gate, which opens right into the dividing line between the Christian and Muslim quarters of the city. The Christian quarter is to the east, the Muslim to the west. Wander through the narrow cobblestone streets, ignoring the stalls of vendors selling their wares on either side, Christian and Muslim alike. Turn right and head into the Christian quarter, and after a series of twists and turns, you will arrive at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the site that marks the place of Jesus' burial. In a time before the pandemic, you would enter through the large wooden doors as part of the masses, a people gathered from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, pilgrims from every place you can imagine. Stand in line, and this is not a line, really. It's more of a mob. What I imagine the crowds around Jesus must have looked like thousands of years ago. And soon you will be making your way to the rotunda at the center of the church. There you will see a building within this building, a little chapel within the many chapels of the place, ornate and yet somewhat dulled by dust and grime, shrouded in incense and smoke and the body odor of thousands of your closest friends. Step into this tiny chapel, called the Aticule, the church within the church. 4, maybe 5 pilgrims fit in there at one time, kneeling for a moment of prayer and contemplation. Touch the stone below which lies the place of Jesus' burial. Say your prayer, and quickly, and then make your way out of the building once again, ushered out by the priests and monks who keep watch over this holy place. And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, the place that our Old Testament reading speaks of is not the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It is the temple built by King Solomon, completed sometime in the 10th century BC. The site where the temple once stood is to the east of the church that I just described, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, on the far side of the Muslim quarter, the place known as the Temple Mount. I couldn't help, however, seeing the connection between these two places as I read today's Old Testament reading. On that tiny patch of land known as the Old City, walled off from the rest of the world, less than a third of a square mile, it's tiny, tiny patch of land, people had made their way through a dense cloud of religions and histories for millennia. Christian, Jew, and Muslim alike, pilgrims all, they flock to this same place. The construction of Solomon's temple marked this place forever. The temple was meant to be a house of prayer for all who sought it, the weak and the strong, the poor and the rich, the citizen and the foreigner. This was supposed to be Solomon's crowning achievement and legacy. But we know what happens next. We know that the temple, or at least the vision Solomon had for the temple, doesn't last for long. We know that in the hands of humankind, the vision tends to fall apart. built in the 10th century. The temple is torn down by the Babylonians on the 6th century BC. The second temple is rebuilt on its ruins, and it is once again torn down, this time by the Romans in the 1st century in the Common Era. Since the 7th century, the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock took its place. These were also torn down and rebuilt and repurposed over centuries of conflict. At times, these even served as Christian churches. But we didn't do a much better job at hallowing this sacred ground either. Even at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, Orthodox, Armenian, and Roman Catholic factions maintain an unsteady truce as they share that little space. We pray together sometimes. Most of the time, we remain apart. It is safe to say that we, the human species, are not very good at living up to the vision of the temple, this home for the Lord Most High, a temple where both citizen and foreigner can gather together in prayer. But the beauty of Solomon's temple isn't in what we have done with it. The beauty is in how God shows up, stoops down, makes God's home among us. A cloud filled the house of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord filled this place. What this passage highlights for us is not human achievement, but godly faithfulness. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob enters our world, meets us on our terms. This God breaks through our intractable divisions by inviting us to break bread together instead. He mocks the power of the strong by coming to us in the form of a child. He proclaims peace in embattled lands and contested territory. And when we stop to listen, when we gather to pray, God invites us to reimagine who we are. He invites us to imagine who we might yet become. That is the purpose of gathering together to pray. Now, of course, nothing has been more challenging in the last couple of years than gathering together to pray. We have adapted to a new normal for the health and well-being of all our neighbors. We have found new ways to gather in prayer and to stay in touch. And as we head into this fall, St. Paul's will try to do things a little differently. Once again, given where we find ourselves in the pandemic, given where things stand right now, which is, as always, subject to change, we plan to bring back coffee hour in the courtyard this September, a place where we can share time together safely outside. We are going to postpone the beginning of our fall programming while we take some time to reconnect with one another. Instead of our usual book and Bible studies on Wednesdays, we will hold simple evening prayer services in the courtyard on Wednesday evenings. We invite you to gather and pray outside with us this September. Now, let me be abundantly clear here. We will continue to observe CDC and diocesan guidelines as we navigate this time together. And if you are unable or feel uncomfortable joining us in person, that's okay too. We will continue to live stream our Sunday morning services. We will continue to do morning prayer via Facebook Live. We are not out of the woods yet, my friends. That's just the truth. But we will continue to gather and pray to create space for God's presence in our hearts and in our community. That is what being church is. Now, what we hope is that this will provide us an opportunity to reflect on what this experiment called church really means. The church is not a building, my friends. The church is always a people, ever-growing and ever-changing, which is another way of saying that this church is always under construction, something with which we are all too familiar with here. God is not done with us yet, my friends, so take courage through wars and rumors of wars, through plague, earthquake, and famine. God is here, and God has a plan for you, a plan to prosper you and not to do you harm, plans to give you hope and a future. Let us gather safely, and let us hope. Let us be the people God has called us to be, a people who cherish sacred space, and a people who build it, nurture it, so that all of God's children may find a place to call home. Amen.